This week, our nation will elect a new president, the highest official of the strongest nation in the world today. Along with that election will be the election of local officials, judges, state and congressional representatives, governors, and senators. In the campaign speeches and debates, TV and radio advertisements, we have heard the candidates boast of what they will be able to do for us. Whether they have campaigned on the platform promising that the government will take care of you, or whether their platform has asserted the government will let you take care of yourself, either way, they have promised that they are the ones who will be able to do us the most good. They have spoken to us of the economy, jobs, Social Security, old age benefits, promising the continuation of the prosperity we have enjoyed as a nation if they are the ones chosen as president. Yet in all of the campaigns, from the national to the local level, there is one word that we have not heard, the one word that is true, the one word that will abide forever. This word from the living God. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Therefore, break off thy sins, thy righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. These were the words that God spoke through Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, who at that time was the world ruler. And these are the words that God speaks yet today. God rules in the kingdoms of men. God sovereignly accomplishes his own purpose, and that purpose is always the salvation of his church and the coming of the day of the Lord. And always the word of God to man, to you, and to every man, from the highest official to the lowest citizen of the earth, that word is always repent. Break off thy sins. Do his will. Instead of the immorality that runs rampant in our society, the ungodliness and the gross, shameful sins which are legalized, God's word nevertheless stands. He rules from the heavens, and his purposes in Jesus Christ shall know no change. And it is the calling of the Church of God in the midst of the world today to testify. It is our calling to dare to be a Daniel, to say the same word that Daniel spoke to the world ruler of his day. That word was, God sits enthroned over all, as the Almighty and as the judge of heaven and earth. Break off thy sins, repent, or his wrath will fall upon you, and you will perish in a day. That's also a word to each one of us in our sinful pride. Live holy lives in the midst of darkness. Confess the Son of God. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Walk as children of light. And this is also a word of assurance. For no matter how evil and dark the day may be, we belong to him whose kingdom rules over all and who accomplishes all things to bring the day of our final glory and redemption. Our passage today is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 4. You'll want to read that chapter and meditate upon it today and in the coming days. Nebuchadnezzar was a great and mighty king. He was the one who had destroyed Jerusalem, the city of David, and laid waste the temple of Solomon. He had taken the people of Judah captive and had established the greatest world kingdom and power that had yet been set up upon the earth. His kingdom, Babylon, was great and luxuriant. Nebuchadnezzar had built shrines and beautiful temples for his gods. He had built a beautiful kingdom, which is even renowned yet to today for its beauty and for its grandeur. Nebuchadnezzar represented man and man's kingdom in all of their power, influence, and beauty. And the scriptures make plain that he stood in the line of the Antichrist, that is, the spirit of Antichrist was in him. His was the kingdom of man. His was the boast that man will determine and man will rule. His was the arrogance against the living God. He exemplified the pride of man which attempts to throw off the bands, throw off the rule of the Lord God Almighty. In that chapter we read that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream which shook him, troubled him, and forced him to bow before God. The dream came to him at the end of his reign, at a time when he had reached the very height of his power. That dream came to him in the night in which he saw a tree in the midst of the earth. This tree grew so that its height was exceedingly great and reached unto the heavens and could be seen for miles around. It was lush with branches and leaves and fruit, producing food and shelter for the birds and beasts of the earth who would nest in its branches and feed in its shadow. And there appeared to him a watcher, a holy one, that is, an angel of God, who cried with a loud voice, "Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches. Shake off the leaves, scatter the fruit, let the fowls and beasts of the earth flee away from it, yet leave the stump and the roots, and around the stump place a band of iron and brass. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the earth." That dream came upon Nebuchadnezzar while on his bed at night, and it troubled him. Because Nebuchadnezzar had more than just a sneaking suspicion that the dream applied to him and his kingdom and his reign. First of all, the vision itself made very plain that the tree represented a person, a man, upon whom would fall severe judgments, who would be reduced from the place of great glory to the place of being a beast upon the earth. Secondly, the angel or watcher explained, even in the dream, that the purpose of the dream was that the living might know that the Most High rules over men and gives the kingdom to whomsoever he pleases. And thirdly, Nebuchadnezzar shows that he had a sneaking suspicion, indeed a dread, that the dream referred to him, because he does not call Daniel until the very last. We read in verse 8 of that chapter, "At the last Daniel came in before me." Nebuchadnezzar hoped that somehow he could avoid calling in Daniel. He thought that perhaps his magicians could spin a good interpretation for him, until at last, with nagging suspicion and dread, the proud king is forced to hear the true interpretation of the dream. Daniel comes before Nebuchadnezzar, and we read that he was astonished and troubled by the space of an hour. And then he speaks to the king the interpretation. "The dream is to them that hate thee, O king, and the interpretation thereof to thy enemies. The tree that thou sawest, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown strong, and thy kingdom is renowned and reaches to the end of the earth. Thou art the man," says Daniel, "before whom the world is bowing. And whereas thou sawest the angel come down with the command to hew down the tree, so is the decree of the Most High God which has come upon thee, O king, because of your pride, because of your boast, because of your vainglory, because of your arrogant setting aside the law of God. God is going to humble you, Nebuchadnezzar. God is going to humble you so low that you will eat grass as an ox, and you will live exposed to the elements. You will be reduced to a beast upon whom the dew falls for 7 years, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. God will bring you low. Therefore, O king, break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Nebuchadnezzar, repent. Humble yourself, do God's righteous will, cast away your idol gods, and obey God alone, or you will be reduced to a beast." That word of God speaks to us today. It speaks the truth, a truth that no one can escape. First of all, it proclaims to us the truth that Jehovah, the God of the Bible, the Most High, is the everlasting King whose dominion is over all. God does not merely exist, but He reigns. He controls, determines, performs His will and good pleasure in the earth, in the sky, over all things. He is not simply a God who is, and to Him men ought to give, and to whom men ought to give a place, but He sits upon a sovereign throne as the Almighty, before whom all men appear, and over whom all men are judged. No one rules but God alone. He sits in judgment and is judged by no man, and to all arrogance and pride which would dare deny Him or wrestle power from Him, He nevertheless abides as the eternal God. His place is upon a throne, and ours is to obey. He governs, and man must serve His purposes. It is not so that the Almighty God is merely a spectator of events and sits back to see what will be in our society. No, we confess, even as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The throne of the universe is not vacant today. God does not hold a bare title to kingship. He is the King. The government is upon His shoulders, and all things are in His hand to do even as He pleases. Through all events, He accomplishes His own eternal purpose, and we are called to confess that with reverent joy. But this word of God means something more. It means that before God, man is nothing. All the inhabitants of the world are reputed as nothing, says Nebuchadnezzar, after these things fall upon him. All the nations before him are as nothing and accounted as less than nothing in vanity. At this very moment, if God so wills, all the might of our society can be reduced to nothing before God, and it will not be a long time, so far as the world is concerned, that it shall be reduced to nothing before the living God. What of the great kingdom of Babylon, the greatest kingdom that the world had yet seen in the days of Daniel? What is left? But a few remains covered in the layers of mud and silt. Every man who has taught of God is made to feel experientially his own utter nothingness before God, and then to think that the Most High God, who needs no one and nothing to add to His glory, has nevertheless loved His church and condescended to embrace us in all of our sinfulness and littleness through Christ. Oh, what a wonder! All men are made to feel their nothingness when God stands up just a little bit to reveal His might and power. The problem today is this. Man has great thoughts of men and of himself, and little thoughts of God. This is the lie of Satan. But it is not so. He is God, and before Him, man is nothing. God does not strain to fulfill His purposes, but He raises up one, and He casts down another. And those who walk in pride, He is able to abase. And therefore the word of God is, repent. Of course. If God sits upon His throne, and man is nothing before Him, then the word of God is, break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. When Daniel spoke those words to Nebuchadnezzar, that took the courage of faith. You know, it's one thing if you call a beggar who is in rags and whose life is shattered by sin and poverty to call that person to repent, but it's another thing to stand before a king, dressed in the world's best and holding a scepter, which power represents that He can enforce His own will over you, power to cast you into prison or to take away your life. Nevertheless, Daniel, who stood before God and God's throne, was made bold to bring the word of God even to mighty kings, kings who rule over nations, to nations who express great power and in their power have become exceedingly proud and boastful of what they can do, who arrogantly have set aside the will and the law of God. God's word is spoken, for he sits upon his throne. He speaks to rich and to poor, to high and to low, to Supreme Court justices and to presidents, to movie producers, to corporate leaders, to the world leaders, and to the lowest inhabitants of the earth. Repent is his word. Take heed, if you cast away the will and the law of the Almighty God, watch out what you trample under your feet. No one shall ever get around the living God. No one ever has or shall. Our proud nature is just the same. We always think that we can get around our sin. We always think that we can arise and say before God, so what? Hear the word of God. Repent. Break off your sins, lest the Almighty God fall upon you, and there be none to deliver you when his anger is risen just a little. Listen, man. Listen, nation. Listen, believer. Listen, all peoples of the earth, boys and girls, mighty and low. Listen to the word of God. God rules from his heavens. He is the Almighty God. Man is nothing. Repent of your sins. Serve the Lord with gladness. Bow before his presence. Confess his name. This word of God was fulfilled in the day of Daniel and is fulfilled today. We read in Daniel 4 that it was but a little later that Nebuchadnezzar walked in his palace. He had choked down the words of his pride, for he was afraid, but then, in a moment, when he viewed the splendor of his kingdom, its shining domes, its paved streets, its golden pillars, and its hanging gardens, the thoughts of his heart expressed themselves upon his lips, and in a moment of achievement and power and self-worship, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" So he spoke, "Have not I done all these things? Look at the prosperity. Look at the influence. Look at the power. Is not this all the result of my hands?" And we read, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven fell, 'O king, the kingdom is departed from thee. You shall be driven from men and turned to a beast, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will.' And in that very hour, the heart of the king Nebuchadnezzar was turned to the heart of a beast, and he lived for 7 years as a wild, shaggy animal, eating grass, and with his fingernails clawing the ground, reduced to a beast before the face of the living God. So it will be with sinful pride. Whatever exalts itself before the living God shall be abased. That's the word that is true. Hear it. So shall it be with any nation among men which casts aside God's law and seeks to establish itself in might and honor and prosperity, any nation which claims that it has the right to decide what is right and true. So shall it be with the world's mighty, sports stars, movie stars, justices of the Supreme Court, congressmen, representatives, presidents, dictators, to all who do not confess the name of Jesus Christ and his Son. And so shall it be to every sinner among men whose heart is lifted up in them and will not bend the knee to God, and who will walk in their own way and cast aside his holy law. This is set by the decree of the Almighty God. God shall be exalted, and all human pride shall be made low. For God is the unconquerable King, bow before him in fear and reverence, confess his Son. This, the gift of God by faith, is eternal life. God's purposes in his Son, Jesus Christ, are faithful and true. His kingdom is forever. He reigns over everything from pole to pole. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. That's his word. His purposes will be accomplished. Even now they are being done. His secret will be performed through Jesus Christ, leading all things to the judgment of sinful rebellion and the building of his church in Jesus Christ. He will gather out of this world his own church, and in the day of Jesus Christ, when his Son returns, he will judge the world, and he will bring his church to final redemption and glory. And his word today? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All the mighty power of God is channeled through love and mercy unto his Son, unto his church in Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. All things are ours, for we are Christ's, and Christ is God. This is comfort to the believer and to the church of Jesus Christ. God rules through Jesus Christ. That's our comfort. But that also brings a serious word to you and me, to national leaders and local judges. That word is this: there's a terrible danger to which you are exposed. If you are wise by the grace of God, you will bow to the scepter of Christ and submit to his instruction. If not, the warning of the King of Kings is also made known to you today. To Supreme Court justices and to humanists and atheists, to agnostic news media and television, to producers and performers of hard rock, bass movies, to those who advocate pornography, to those who practice abortion, to all those who live today in power and influence, but live in rebellion against this King. Repent. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. When his anger is risen, who shall stand in that dread day? The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Break off thy sins. Cease from your iniquity. Believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a word of comfort to the believer and to the church. For we confess that by mighty grace we have been brought to bow in humble adoration, and we worship him now with zeal and love, and we desire to serve him in obedience. We confess him who is sovereign over us in his love, and we confess him who remains our shield and our protector. And we come before his throne not with fear and dread, but we come before his throne with praise and love, and confess before him out of wonder and delight. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Hallelujah. Father, bring this word even to our hearts, and give us to walk in its comfort. Amen.